Hey, how's it going out there? Welcome back. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you, sir, are listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. How is it going, Carolyn?
It's going excellent. And also, welcome back to all the first-time listeners.
Yes, welcome back, first-time listeners. Does that make sense? It sort of does. And welcome back, Jesse and the Rippers. Absolutely, Jesse Katsopoulos back on. It was Jimmy Fallon. They did the return, and of course, we got to bring it back with the original, not the original, but Jesse and the Rippers playing "Forever" from Full House. I don't even know where it's from. Guitar solo. I didn't even know there was a guitar solo in that. It's crazy.
That'd be crazy, yo.
Yes.
Joe, a year ago, around this time, actually. You were actually touring with the Beach Boys.
That's true. That's very true. It's weird to look back at that and be like, that was like a year ago.
And you heard this song live because they originally did the Forever song.
Yeah, the Beach Boys. No one really even knew that.
Well, because Uncle Jesse basically took it and made it his own.
Yeah, that's crucial. That usually happens. You know?
I mean, I do have to say, I do enjoy the Uncle Jesse and the Rippers version of Forever more than the actual Beach Boys version.
But it's almost exactly the same, but it's just Jesse Katsopoulos singing it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what makes it, really. I mean, you cannot deny John Stamos.
That's true.
I really don't understand how, like, what happened with Rebecca Romaine. How can she deny, like, John Stamos? But that's a whole nother topic. We could figure that out later, maybe, but
we'll solve that crime later.
We gotta solve that crime, but.
But now it's time. It's time for the
news.
Segment everyone looks forward to. It's Carolyn's news.
All right. This past Saturday, July 20th. Already is in the past, but let's talk about it. As I clear out this hairball.
As we clear off the throat. As we clear that out. Last Saturday,
I probably should have taken a drink. Last Saturday was the cartoons
art exhibit.
Yeah, cartoons with the word art in caps. Get it? Yeah, that was at the Politics and Prose bookstore inside their coffee shop downstairs. And it's still running, you guys. This show is pretty marvelous. Like, we got to see all of the work that's up on the walls. Curated by Teresa Roberts Logan, and I will say you can get some excellent deals on original comic art already framed. Very good prices. I don't know if you got to check out any of that, Joe, because Joe was actually working that event taking photos, so I don't know how much of, like, what you saw about the technicality aspect of, like, getting a good deal on some art.
It's a little bit of a challenge sometimes if I'm working to actually pay attention to anything besides my job.
Well, anyway, I think you can get
some
good deals there. And this show runs until September 1st. So that means you have basically like a month and a half to check it out. If you're ever in the D.C. area, go to Politics and Prose Bookstore and look for the coffee shop. And you'll find the cartoon show, which is an excellent show. And I had a good time at the art opening on Saturday. Lots of good people that came by to recognize the cartoonists, and
I thought it was a pretty good showing. There's like a lot of people there.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, and apparently, the coffee shop is called Modern Times Coffee Shop, and the staff was saying afterwards that we had the largest ever attendance for an art opening, so that's pretty impressive.
That is pretty impressive.
And I mean, it's just like really great work up on those walls, so I don't see why you should not go and check it out anytime you're in D.C. Just head on in. But yeah, that's pretty monumental, and that ends on September 1st. Also, Magic Bullet Comics. Go to magicbulletcomics.com to find out all the info, because the deadline is approaching on the next issue. The deadline is August 1st, and there's still time to submit your comic or purchase advertising space. So figure it all out at magicbulletcomics.com. That's where we are, Joe. The news.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
The news segment. And Joe and I will also have more upcoming tour information, but that's later in the fall. We'll obviously keep you up to date.
So basically, we're holding back some news, guys. There's more news to come, but we're holding back news.
It's too early to really announce. I mean, everyone's
the only news that people can announce right now is the stuff that's happening at San Diego Comic-Con, and that's all people are paying attention to right now, so we're going to hold it off.
Actually, I did hear a couple people say, like, well, San Diego's over with. No one's talking about it anymore.
So it's really just one of those things where San Diego happens.
It came and went.
And that's one of that's another thing that's happened a lot. Like, since I was working all that time, and I've been trying to bust my ass as best as I can, hustle, loyalty, and respect. But everyone's like, "Why you? I thought you guys would be over be at San Diego Comic Con." And you guys got to realize one thing: it's freaking expensive. And I'm gonna break the news to you right now: it's expensive just to go over there. And to be there, it's one of those things where you have to sort of like weigh up your options. And I'm not gonna lie, it'll be great to be at San Diego Comic Con right now. I'd love to be a guest. I'll put it out there. It'd be awesome to have us out there. But at the same time, it's like there's so many great shows on the East Coast that we already save money for. You know, that we choose to do. And also, if we were there at the same San Diego Comic Con at this very moment watching, I don't even know. The thing is though, it's so big you probably wouldn't be able to see everything that you want to see. It's like it's pretty much one of these things. It's like, if I've always heard this compared to like events compared to like, why would I go to WrestleMania live right now if I can go and pay, I don't know, $65 and see all the great angles and action that I wouldn't be able to see live? So it's one of those things. I feel like maybe San Diego Comic-Con is one of those things for me at this point where maybe it's good I just see news updates, because I wouldn't be able to update. I wouldn't be able to see all that stuff. And also, we'd probably be doing signings and meeting people to do all the other stuff. And also, it's Hollywood Comic Con right now anyway, so...
Yeah, really,
even though I'm part of that, but, you know.
The major things that I feel like are covered by the mainstream press, even, are all Hollywood-related. So there is... I don't know how much of actual comics coverage is highlighted, but I do have a couple awesome news items from San Diego that I'd like to talk about.
Sure, go ahead. We'll just continue the news. This goes on.
Well, this is
it's all news.
News and commentary. For some of you might know about the Team Cul-de-Sac project, and some of you might not know, so just to keep everyone up to speed, there is a comic strip called Cul-de-Sac, and the creator, Richard Thompson, was diagnosed with a disease. Basically, he could not work on the comic strip anymore because he has Parkinson's disease, and he was basically forced to retire. And so Chris Sparks met Richard Thompson, and he started out just basically being a fan and then became a friend. And he organized this whole book full of tons of cartoonists in it. And the book is pretty amazing. Like, it feels good to hold. It's well designed. And it's just basically a labor of love that turned into, like, a true, true project. And Chris Sparks won the Humanitarian Award at San Diego Comic-Con at the Eisners this past Saturday. So that's pretty enormous. Like, he's done so much to bring the whole community together. And I'm really glad to be a part of the Team Cul-de-Sac book. And if you want to, you know, go ahead and talk about news, I mean, November 10th, you know, we're in July now, so November 10th, DC is going to have a Parkinson's walk, and we're organizing a walk team, and you can walk with us, and it's free. So I don't see, like, how it can get any better than that, but you can also raise donations yourself. That goes to the Parkinson's Foundation. But yeah, there's projects that we have up our sleeves. And I know Chris Sparks, I think, is planning to attend Baltimore Comic-Con now because he's nominated for, like, several awards for the Harvey Awards at Baltimore. So I think he's going to try to like make his way up there. But also in other San Diego Comic-Con news, Joe, did you hear about the Harley Quinn series?
Tell me about it.
Well,
I didn't really pay attention much to any news at this point in my life.
I'm pretty excited because basically it's Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Conner working on a Harley Quinn series.
That's pretty great. Those guys are like, awesome. I love their work. Like, and really, they're good friends of ours, so that's even more of a plus.
That's all you really got to know. Like, just say Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Conner and Harley Quinn, and it's like brings a smile to your face.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually very exciting news. I'm not going to lie. I'm really excited about that. Way to go, Jimmy and Amanda. Huge. I'm going to buy that book.
You're going to support.
That means... No, I'm not supporting.
Well, you're going to buy it and read it.
I want to put over the fact that I don't buy anything to support anybody. I think that's actually blasphemous. Oh, I'm buying this to support you. I'm buying it because I love it. I'm buying it because not to be charity. And I think that's the best thing for me personally. I mean, it's great if people buy our stuff to support us. But me personally... I like to buy things because I freaking gonna love it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's actually the best payoff of all of it. Not to be like, oh, I'm buying to support you because you're a charity. I'm buying because you know what? I physically and in my heart, I want to read that and I want to buy that because I'm a fucking fan of that shit. You know what I mean? I want to like that. I want to like that's that. I want to like it. I want to love it. I want to do all that. Not because I'm like, oh yeah, they need the help. I'm supporting you. I'm supporting the arts. Fuck the arts. I'm gonna go and put my ego in front of your face. And you know what? Me having a massive ego as it is, I'm taking my ego and I'm putting over your stuff. That should mean a lot. You know what I mean? I don't know why if that doesn't make any sense.
And also on top of
when is having an ego bad?
That character, Harley Quinn. That's like ever since I've known you, like I don't want to rank characters for you, but I will say like ever since I've known you, you have been a massive fan of Harley Quinn.
Yes. But not to the point where I've named any of my kids that. Not to the point where everything is like Harley Quinn. But in my truest of hearts, I fucking love Harley Quinn. You know? So it's just honest. It's just pure honest. And I'm not there saying I need to support Harley Quinn. No, fuck it. I love freaking Harley Quinn as a character. That's why I'm going to buy it. And I like Jimmy Palmiotti and I like Amanda Conner's work. I'm going to buy it. Not to support them, but to put them over. I don't know, that always sounds weird. It's like
Don't like that word support.
I don't like any of that. Because it's weird. Because it in a way it doesn't feel honest to say like, oh, I'm doing this to support, I need to support the arts. It's like, fuck that.
That's another better way to say that though, because I feel like that word's being thrown around a lot, like and everyone has like a Kickstarter campaign.
Yeah, but
and they're like support
I feel like if it's they're saying support, it's also like in a way. Yes,
it needs your help.
But yeah, exactly. It's like, we need to support the hurricane relief. You know, you need to support these people. Yeah. You need to do this. Like, it's some sort of campaign. It's some sort of, like activist thing. We need to support the Mahbub Abdul Jamal, whatever the hell. It's like...
Who?
But it's like, you don't... but that's what... It doesn't make sense to me to have that.
Support
I don't know.
Jamal.
Maybe my face... Maybe the way I think is just weird. Or maybe I just don't like to lie. And I'm not allowed to lie, and I don't lie. And this is such bullshit when people are like, I'm going to go support you. Because you know what that sounds like? It sounds like an out. To be like, well, I didn't like it, but at least I'm supporting them. You know what I mean? No. The best thing for any creator, I feel like, is just someone to generally, like, just in the true nature to like and want to buy it. Not to be like, oh, I'm going to support you. But, you know, I'm not really good. I don't really care. But I need to support you as a person. You know, I don't know. That's just, maybe it's just me being selfish.
I really do think it, because if you don't need support, people wouldn't use that word. No one's like, support Donald Trump.
Am I going to go and watch Buffy or anything that Joss Whedon does because he needs the support? You know, because I'm connected, because his work connects with me and I love it. And you know what I mean? That's it. I'm not going to buy a fucking hot dog because this hot dog business needs support. It's because I probably want to eat that shit.
I feel like the word support in general, like just the word support, has been overused within the past couple of years. Because like I was saying with the Kickstarter and being online, everyone's like, support my project, support this, support my friend, support like whatever this disease and this and that. Like at least with some of the causes I can understand, you know, like... Oh, support breast cancer research or something. Or even support Parkinson's walk. You know, like... Because that does need help, but... Like, I don't know. Is there a better way in general? Like, is there another word to say support? Because even I've
help!
Heard, Well, no, that's even more desperate. That's
but let's be cheerful. That's what it is. It's like they need help. Help them out.
No, but that's more of like
when someone's drowning, do you yell "support me"?
No, no, but you yell, help me. Trying to look for another word that's not like as crisis-like.
Well, that's what's happening in the world today. Is words are becoming bullshit now. Words don't mean anything. Like friend, those don't mean anything. Sorry, they don't mean anything.
Follow,
that doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean? All these words that you even saying the words fuck, even saying curse words, they don't mean anything. Nudity, it doesn't mean anything now. You know what I mean? Everything's just as bullshit. People know.
Have you ever really got offended by any nudity?
You know what's the worst of all these days? There's no such thing as an outsider. That doesn't mean anything.
Actually,
now.
There is an outsider. An outsider to me nowadays would be someone that doesn't own a cell phone.
Someone that's
isn't
not
even,
online.
Like, on social media.
Yeah, that's a true outsider. But you know what? Those are becoming like extinct.
Like a Ted Kaczynski.
Yeah,
and like living in his cabin.
Yes, exactly. But everyone's connected. So it's sort of just like this world of just crap where everything's being reformatted for whatever is coming out now, you know? Bullshit, guys.
I will say...
Support that!
I will say, like, a cool thing about actually going to the museum. It's a museum about news in Washington, D.C. I've been a couple times, and you can actually see Ted Kaczynski's actual cabin that is inside the museum. For some reason, I feel like that's pretty cool. It's not, like, that big of a cabin, though. You can probably fit, like, 15 people in it. That's like, as big as it gets.
How big does it need to be, right?
I mean, it's just, like, a bomb-making...
It's more surprising that they have it there. You know what
I
mean?
You think that's, like, glamorizing the terrorists?
Yeah, it is. Why not?
So what do you think
about... Support the terrorists, right? That's what they want you to do.
So what do you think about the, I don't know, since you've been out on your social media rehab,
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing about the social media rehab is that...
What's the thing?
The thing is this, is that like I've been injected slowly into it. And then once I started slowly looking at people's updates, I just went to the first because I had to promote this. I had to promote all the other things like the Taboo 2014 calendar that I'm making and the new one shots. So like systematically, I've slowly had to leak myself back into that world. And now, just even like 3 hours ago, I just realized this. Once I started looking at other people's fucking Instagrams and all this other shit, I'm just like, I just realized, like, I can't do this to myself again.
Times suck.
No, but like, I literally can't. Like, there was a moment where it's like, uh-oh, I feel like...
Oh, you felt like it was coming back
I felt like it was coming back. I legitimately felt like it's coming back. I legitimately felt like I'm about to fall off the wagon. And then I literally turned off my phone and fucking threw it. And I was like, you're there, and you realize the phone is on the floor, and I was angry.
I didn't actually see you throw it. I saw that you turned it off,
but I didn't see the throwing. And you're like, oh, search this thing. I was like, my phone's off. I'm not going back that shit. Because, like, it really started happening again, and I started to realize I can't let it come back. And then I started reading on...
You got sucked in too much into the rabbit hole.
I did not get sucked in, but I could see the hole, and I can see I'm one step away from falling back into it. So I was like, I can't let this happen. Fuck this. And then I read online about how Jake Roberts, how like he fell off the wagon from his alcoholism, how he was trying to quit alcohol. And then then DDP and his friends like caught him because they said that like, because they have surveillance everywhere at the house where DDP's house? I forget what it is, but they were sending DDP messages because he was away filming something. They're saying Jake Roberts is acting weird. And then when he came back, Jake Roberts admit that he like fell off the wagon. And then DDP was like, well, brother, it's good you admit this to us, you know, that you want to change. And then, you know, he devoted all this time, but now we got to be even tougher on you. And so now he's 33 days off of alcohol again. And now he's almost a year off of cocaine. And I was looking at that and I was like, I know it's not the same sense, but I could feel the dread of me like going and reading all these other people's stupid ass things.
Do you think that you are addicted though? Like at one point?
I can say that it's not something that makes me feel good. It makes me feel horrible. It makes me like double think about everything I do. And when I was looking at that, I was like, it reminded me like, fuck this, man. I don't need to know anything. I don't need to know, oh, what concert are you going to? You know what I mean? And the sad fact is when it comes to this, is now I feel like I lost touch a little bit because I wasn't able to communicate with a lot of people. But the sad fact is this, is now I got to be even tougher. The thing is, I can't be off it, but I just can't look. So now it's even tougher because I need to post, but I can't look at anyone else's thing. Does
maybe,
that make sense?
Maybe you can like just limit your time or do like a time frame thing of like...
There's no time. It's this. This is what's going to happen. This is what I'm doing cold turkey. I'm going to post and I am out. Instagram, I'm posting, not looking at anything else. That's literally what's going to happen. I can't do anything else but that. I can post. I can see if someone likes my shit. But what hurts me the most is when I see what everyone else is doing. And it's not the true sense of being like, oh, I'm not doing anything with my life. Because I totally feel like I'm doing too much. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm doing a lot of shit within my life. And these motherfuckers are making me feel like I'm not doing enough. I think I'm doing a lot. And I'm pretty happy with that. I just can't stand looking at everyone's stuff. So I just got to shut that out. And I just gotta look at real news outlets. That's it.
Well, what I was getting at earlier with the terrorist thing, and speaking of which, since you have been kind of on and off social media, did you see the Rolling Stone cover that everyone has been outraged?
I have not.
Have you heard about it?
No, I haven't. The only thing I heard is about the baby. Being that, and because the TV was in front of me today during today's shoot.
Okay, well, I guess a little bit into last week, Rolling Stone announced their cover boy was the Boston Massacre bomber.
Oh, how racy, guys. That's so...
From the marathon.
To me, that's almost equivalent to as an art... Whenever an artist is like, I'm going to be racy and I'm going to be controversial, so I'm going to do something that's religious-based or Jesus-based and desecrate that. Well, that's what it feels like to me. I don't even know what it is, but that's what it feels
like. But isn't Rolling Stone supposed to be about music?
Yeah.
I mean, I know they've had like other things on their cover that isn't music related.
I mean,
you know, they have celebrities on the cover.
But now it's pretty much a pop culture thing. I mean, Bill Clinton's been on that. Obama's been on that, you know, so.
But makes me actually wonder, like, I'm like, you know, Rolling Stone. And also, apparently, they used to have Manson on the cover, like, a while ago. The guy who, like, had a cult.
Charles Manson?
Yeah. So, apparently someone told me that, so I haven't researched it, but if that's true, then I guess Rolling Stone hasn't really changed, but it does make you wonder in this day and age, like, most people probably, like, really dislike the Boston Marathon bomber.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are they putting him on the cover? I mean...
Well, I don't know what's the image of him, just his...
It's an image that he had...
His image?
It's him, his image... That he of a photo that he took before the marathon, and it kind of looks like Jim Morrison. Like, he has like the long like hair with like, you know, a little bit of curl in it.
Well, let me know.
He does kind of look like a rock star.
Why?
Type pose.
Why is he on there? Like, what's the
reason?
Because
the crime he committed.
Yeah, but beyond that, I mean, like, there's so many people that have committed crimes that are probably just as heinous. You know what I mean? What is his is more public, yes, but is there another reason why he should be on there? Like, in all honesty,
I guess to sell magazines, from the point to create controversy.
From the point of an editor, it's like, what? It's like, it's almost like you got to find that news article, the highest one, and push it up there. So that could be it. But are we promoting him? You know what I mean? Of course, there is no bad publicity. Is he still alive or is he dead?
He's in a hospital.
He's in a hospital for what?
Didn't he get shot by some of the cops while he was in the boat,
backyard? There's still time for him to be, like, you know... To become a hero, huh?
I guess so. I'm not quite sure.
Fuck
but
that.
I think he's probably injured, like, pretty badly,
so?
I would assume.
Is he guilty?
Yeah.
Well, then
I mean,
we
it
should...
hasn't been tried yet, so technically no.
Did he kill people?
Yeah.
And are people trying to make him to a hero?
I think some people, he might be somebody's hero out there. So, you know that there are some... These weird women, or I shouldn't say women, or I guess women and girls, I read this article saying that a lot of these, I don't know if it's the Rolling Stone article, I don't think it is because I haven't read that yet, but I have read things online, these young teenage girls that have sent this Boston Marathon bomber marriage proposals, and they say that, you know, apparently he looks as good as, like, guys in One Direction or some band like that, and, like, oh, he has female fans.
Yes, and those are the same type of marriage proposals that Justin Bieber got during that age, and which means they actually mean absolute bullshit.
Yeah, when you're 16 years old, I want to get married to you. Like,
marry me! Marry me! Blow you up, bitch.
But also, you know, also what is strange? That guy that did the, you know, the the Batman movie, The Dark Knight Rises. Remember that?
Christopher Nolan?
No, but remember the movie?
Oh, the guy
bombing?
Shot him up?
Yeah. Yeah. Or I shouldn't say the bombing, the shooting.
The shooting? Did he go on Rolling Stone too?
No, but I have.
Not big enough yet, huh?
Not big enough.
Because he wasn't viewed as.
He didn't go hardcore.
He wasn't viewed as a terrorist, right?
Well, yes, he is. He is viewed as a terrorist.
Then why wasn't he on Rolling Stone?
Terror in the movie theater. I guess it wasn't as big.
I bet Bin Laden was on Rolling Stone too, wasn't he?
I'm not sure.
Well,
I'd have to research.
Probably Bin Laden's been on a lot more magazines.
Yeah, he's been on like Time magazine and all that, Newsweek.
How many people who've saved lives, who've like sacrificed their own life? How many military people or how many people in other wars who've like died and sacrificed themselves? Have they been on any magazines?
I don't know. Maybe Tillman might have been.
So
who died in friendly fire but turned out not to be friendly fire.
So this seems a little one-sided, don't you think? That let's promote the bad guy. You know, and let's promote them, but not all these other people.
Yeah, but the Batman killer, that guy apparently also had a lot of female fans, because I once saw this website with, like, all these tweets from women. First of all, apparently he was, like, into drinking Slurpees or something, and then, like, it had these pictures of girls, like, with a Slurpee, and then they were saying that they were trying to be like him, and then they, like, some of them dyed their hair. Like, remember he had, like, crazy dyed hair like a Joker?
I actually didn't see him, because you know what? I don't care about these people.
Oh, I don't necessarily care about them either, but I find a fascination, though, with, like, these young girls that are liking these guys that, like, do bombings and shootings.
I'm actually more disgusted, because it actually just reinforces the stupidity of that race.
The human race.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up. Like, if a guy was to, like, bomb something, I wouldn't be, like, attracted to him. Like, to me, that would be like, maybe I should stay away from that guy.
I mean, they get credit for, all those guys, any one of them, terrorists or those killers or whatever, they get credit solely for just having a goal and doing it. But then there's a bunch of these sheep followers out there, specifically those women, who see this and they become attracted or turns on to them.
Do you think it's like a Harley Quinn syndrome?
No, it's not. It's not a Harley Quinn syndrome because she put in her time and she put in her work. What this really is to me is I don't know, I had a train of thought, but now it's gonna lose. But it just seems to me that like. It's a loser aspect, you know?
But also for Rolling Stone to put him, like, I can understand maybe if it was, like, a secondary story. Like, I wouldn't mind it as much. But as, like, cover boy, I'm just like, that just shows you how our society right now has lack of talent.
It just shows you
can't pick anybody else to be on the cover.
It just shows the society has a lack of priorities, really.
And also,
we can't go to the fucking moon, but we can fucking make a freaking phone and shit that's faster than anything and more powerful than anything that we've gone to.
Everybody's smartphones is actually more technology than they have taken to go to the moon.
It really just comes down
on your palm of your hand.
It really comes down to priorities. It really just comes down to priorities. People are too busy commenting on each other's bullshit as opposed to producing something. You know what I mean? And going out there and doing something with their lives. I actually saw a great commercial today for. And it was while we were watching wrestling, and it was for the what was it? Who does the Kindle? Amazon, Google, Kindle. Who makes that?
I don't know who does the Kindle.
Come on, tell me who makes the Kindle.
Might be Amazon.
All right,
I know they promote it.
All right, the Amazon Kindle. I saw a great ad for the Amazon Kindle that I saw, and basically it had a time limit that people parents can put on. The Kindle, like, you can have a time limit for video games, a time limit for reading or whatever, and put that on the Kindle, so when that time limit stops, it stops the program from working. And I thought it was a really great thing, because for one, it motivated the propaganda set people, like, it showed them having to stop reading that and be like, oh, time's up, and it showed the kid having to go outside and play with their family, with their daughter.
And actually see the world,
and I saw that, and I was like, wow, some positive. Even though I'm not really sounding the most positive, I'm sounding more angry in this show. But like, I saw that and I was like, "Wow, that's awesome!" You know what I mean? Because I was like, "I haven't seen that before," and that thought that was great.
Do you think that there are like young children out there, like, you know, let's say fifth or sixth graders that are like obsessed with technology that like never never turn off their iPad and stuff.
Well, let's think.
Like, I think they're out there. I think that's the new society. They're just going to be obsessed with, like, being connected.
I mean, you're perfectly correct. We live in a whole generation right now where we have 2-year-olds that are being born every single day, or 1-year-olds that are just
they're going to be born already at 2.
The first thing they're going to be given is a fucking phone from their ignorant parents. That's their only experience, because they need to have a getaway in their mind.
And then they're going to use it as a babysitter.
And what they're basically going to do is they're going to shove this phone in their kid's face, as opposed to giving them some breast milk or anything like that. You know, just to shut them up. That's pretty much what's going to happen.
Well, I've seen, like, young kids, like, not want to give the phone back to their parents. They'll be like, enough, little Jimmy. And then they're like, they'll throw a tantrum over, like, turning off their game. I don't know, it's getting rough. And also, speaking of time limit on things, I think, like, even as adults, people aren't using their time wisely. I mean, I know, I even myself, I'm not here to say I'm, like, the master time expert. I know I can probably prioritize a little better, but at the same time, I know, like, a whole generation of people that can't prioritize worth a damn. But there is these timing programs, because even one of my really good friends, she has carpal tunnel syndrome, and I think it's from, you know, being constantly on the computer and not taking any breaks. And so now she has this thing set up on her work computer where it will shut down the screen and it will say, you know, 10-minute break. And so she, you know, she has to stop whatever she's doing, and she can't even move the screen, because she gave me access to this program and I tried it once. And but it was almost like too much, because I was like, oh my god, I needed to finish what I was just doing at that same time. But I guess it kind of warns you that it's shutting down, but still it's like, ah, no, I was really into, like, actually working, you know? So it's almost like you can't really work organically, but it does force you to shut down. Well, and see, go take a walk, or go move your hand around in other positions than the mouse holding position.
Well, I remember one of the things that people come to, like, on a film set when we were shooting film, or anyone who was shooting film before, like, the constant digital age where you don't really have to stop these days, is that actors and the crew got used to having to reload the film magazine, like, after a certain amount of time, and that would be like a 15-minute or a 10-minute break in between. But now people are just shooting. And I remember hearing people tell stories about how, like, they used to miss that pacing of, like, oh, we got to reload, and then you get that break, as opposed to just, like, go, 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 go.
Well, everything in society right now is, like, go, 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 but then still people will manage to find time to, like, look at cute cat pictures. So it's like that priority. It's like, oh, or people are like, oh, we're so poor. Oh, but we're going to Europe this summer. You know, so there's, like, well, you're poor, but you said that you're going to Europe and taking a big family vacation, so it could go both ways. There's, like, this weird priority now. It's almost like, you know, oh, we're in the recession, but, oh, you know what? I'll pay for that. I'll pay for that vacation, but everything else is recession. So
it's like a world of excuses.
Yeah, like, I've heard the recession is so much of an excuse now. But, yeah, it's just, like, the whole timing thing, though, I really do think it's good to even just get up and take little walks. Because I try to take some, like, for some reason, I at, like, 11 a.m. and at 4 p.m., I just, like, I don't know, I feel like I need breaks, and maybe that's, an internal clock in myself. But I get up and, like, I do take a small walk, because also, like, as a woman, it's not really good to sit for eight hours plus straight, because then also, like, commuting time too, or if you're working extra. It's like some people are probably sitting for like 10 hours straight.
Yeah.
Like, that's not really good on your spine. It's not really good on your eyeballs or on your hand or your wrist. And also, like, as a woman, like, I don't know about you, Joe, but I've been noticing these women with, like, varicose veins, like, in their legs. It's like these veins that, like, are all, I don't know, gross, or like cottage cheese legs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Or like the veins that are all like poppy.
See, I tend to think that, like, your shape and, like, the way your body is structured, your body sort of accustoms itself to your current lifestyle. So I feel like you can tell a person's lifestyle by the way they look. You know, does that, yeah. does that make sense?
But, like, the varicose veins are, I think, a part of the cause of them is from inactivity.
But that's what I'm saying. And you see that, and you're like, oh, that person just must sit all day.
And even, like, there are some people that, it doesn't really necessarily have to do with weight. Because I've seen some people have it that don't look as heavy, I guess. Like, you know, as like, oh, they're fat and have big veins and the, you know, cottage cheese. You know, it's not like they're like a big blob necessarily. Yeah. They might just be like an average size and they still have these veins. But like, I'll see these women at like the grocery store. Like, where did I see? Oh, yeah, at Fairfax Fair, like last month, I saw like a couple women that had this. And I was in, a community fair, fun summer, kicking off the summer event. And I'm like, your legs. I don't want to, like, you know, and also I don't think you can really revert varicose veins. You can by surgery, but not, like, naturally, as far as I know. So it's kind of like once they come in, you're like, oh, well, now if you want to fix that, that's, like, an additional surgery that, like, no healthcare is going to cover because it's, what's the word for something that's vanity project or something, you know, it's not a health risk.
Is it a health risk though?
I mean it might be, but you can still live with it, wouldn't that clog up the
blood flow or something like that,
maybe if it got to a really bad situation.
Isn't that like the difference between like driving like a curvy road as opposed to a straight road for your blood cells?
But I think your blood will still go through it, you know what I mean? I'm not a health expert on it, but I feel like government won't really be like, oh yeah, that's a big problem, varicose veins. It's more
the government.
It's like, you know, it's varicose veins is more like a visual like problem, and no one really thinks it's attractive, you know. Yeah. So I feel like that requires like a special laser surgery, but you'd have to pay additional fee for it because it's all about the looks and it's not about the living. But yeah, like I see these women with it and it's kind of like a precautionary thing because I'm like, you know what? I don't really want to have legs with the roadmap and the cottage cheese, you know? And it's like, I need to move.
Some guys have that too.
Ugh. Like, it's not a good look. So that's why, you know, PSA to everybody. I don't want to have varicose veins and I don't really think anyone should. So,
well, how do you prevent yourself from having that?
You gotta move around.
You gotta, if you can get the prevention starting now.
That's what I'm trying to do. Like,
as opposed to sitting, basically just get off your ass, don't look at a computer, and go out and do something.
I mean, ideally, I would like to look at a computer less, but it seems like that is how everyone is going towards always looking at a computer and sitting.
Yeah.
But at least take some breaks is what I'm urging everyone as my public service announcement this week. Because, you know, it's just going to weigh on your body, and it's not really worth sitting there all that time. You're not probably missing out on anything. So instead of catching up on the latest cat photo, just go outside and breathe some air that's in the 100 degrees. If you don't go outside, at least just walk around your office or something, or wherever you are. Do some
stand up
squats.
And stretch and do some yoga.
Yeah, do some DDP yoga.
I used to remember, like, yoga used to be that, like, this weird
not
thing.
Not your mama's yoga.
Remember, wasn't yoga one of those things? First time I ever learned about yoga was from Street Fighter, because Dal Sim did that with Breathe Fire, and, like, it came from, like, the Indian. It felt like it came from, like, the Middle East, like, yoga or something like that, didn't it? It was one of those things where back in the day, people were like, oh, you did yoga? That's weird. And now, like, everyone's doing yoga.
I never thought it was weird.
I never said that you thought it was weird, but I remember a lot, like, that was, I felt like that was an overall thing, where it's like, that's different.
I feel
weird.
Like now it's accepted.
It's not pumping iron, so it's not really a workout, you know what I mean? Like
it's
the work,
a stretch.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like people thought, like, the workouts back then were, like, the ones where, like, oh, you gotta be, like, sweating to the oldies.
Like, Nordic.
Yeah, like, all that stuff. But now, like, with all this new types of exercise...
Do you think a lot of the exercises, like all the gimmicky stuff, do you think it actually works? Because I feel like they try to get people in the infomercials and everything. They're like, oh yeah, you gotta work out and get this Nortrek and get this, I don't know what else, get this, you know, pump or get this shake weight and this and that. Like, you know, I'd say every 2 years there's always like some new exercise fad. But then it almost seems like, you know, people that are unhappy with their body will buy into it, but then they don't actually use it after a while. Like, they'll use it for, like, a week.
They use it for, like, a week.
And then they're just like, I'm gonna go eat a donut. I'm
tired of this. Forget my diet. Not saying that I follow any type of diet like that, but I can understand work ethic. Busting your ass.
They don't hold it very long.
They do the temporary thing. You know, whatever temporarily makes them feel good, like heroin or posting stuff. That's the stuff that people like these days. Today is not about the long term.
I find it weird juxtaposition of our society, whereas, like, you know, in Hollywood, they want you to be thin and fit, and
it's just
but then when you look at the average human, they are kind of, or let's just say average American, they're kind of lazy, or they're like, oh, I wish I looked like that. But then they, like, don't make an attempt after a week. They kind of quit out. And
one of the biggest annoyances that I've always come across is, like, this sort of, like, this feud between the fat and the fat, the curvy, like, every type of look of girls. You know what I mean? And they're all saying, like, they're all, like, it's like this comparison chart of, like real women. Like, you know, like, people want to represent what a real woman is. And then one side's like, real women are not skinny, and they're, like, fat and curvy. And then the skinny girl's, like, saying, like, I'm skinny, doesn't mean I'm not a real woman. Like, there's that battle, you know what I mean, that I constantly hear. Like, and it's so retarded, man. And I mean that in, like, the most retarded sense, in the most offensive way.
But there's also, like, that group of people that are, like, love your body. And they kind of, like, want you to love yourself even no matter what shape you are. There's also that.
But see, there's a hypocrisy towards all of that. Because, like, the real sense is everyone, love whatever body shape you are. But I also think, and they're like, well, I'm skinny. Love me the way I am, skinny. Love me the way I am. It's all this love me the way I am. But when I look at that, and it's the same thing with the word support, and people are saying, love me the way I am. This is my real shape. At the same time, that's great. But I'll believe you if I know if you're trying to be progressive every single day. Because I feel like when people are like, you should just, you know, love all shapes. Love the way I am. It's like, also at the same time, it sounds like you quit. You know what I mean? It sounds like you're like, well, I'm not going to do anything, so just love me how I am right now. You know what I mean? You know, that's what it seems like. It's like, oh, I'm skinny, just love me how I am right now. Are you a skinny that's sort of like, oh, I'm on drugs skinny? Are you a skinny because, like, oh, you don't eat anything skinny? Are you skinny because you're in fighting shape skinny? There's so many different variations. Really, like, the most attractive look is healthy. You know what I mean? Because it's obvious if you're obese, that's not healthy. It's obvious if you're skinny and you're a stick, that's not healthy. You know what I mean? The best thing is the most healthiest one, and healthiest one is the one in fighting shape, you know. And then but you don't see those girls being like, "Love me the way I am."
You don't really see
many
girls
kicking the shit out of people. That's why.
But you don't really see many girls that actually wants to build that type of muscle, though.
But
like, there's
not about
like that
muscle
limit. That's like, I don't really want to like look muscular.
But it's like that dancer shape is real. You know what I mean? They're all freaking real. But like the way they talk about it is like, well, I'm just going to be, this is how I am forever. I'm not going to change like that. And there's nothing wrong with changing. But also it's like, there's also like when they say that, it sounds like they're not trying to make themselves better. And that's where I see the fault in that. I see fault in everything.
Just like this. Everybody's campaign is more about like,
everyone's just trying to be better than each other.
But then there, you know, it's a very contradictory society we're in right now.
And it's so obvious to see because they post it every single day. And that's the stuff that I can't stand. I just see, whenever I look at this stuff, I just see hypocrisy all over the place. Bunch of liars. And am I a liar? No. Am I lying now? Maybe.
I do find it weird, though, how you're like, the one thing that you posted, like, basically to come back to social media was you posting a meal of your chicken and waffles.
Well, that was amazing.
I'm sure it was, and I'm not denying that it was.
But that wasn't my return, though.
Well, that was one of your recent postings that, in my opinion, was, I don't know exactly what was your total return, because you never actually fully went away. But I do think it's here's a picture of my food that I'm
but
eating.
See, that's the thing.
So how do you gauge like what's important to promote?
Well, I do the most absurd. I post that because I believed it was absurd. but also it made people happy. Yeah. I wasn't posting. I don't want to post things for me. I want to post things to make people happy. But that's subjective in the same way. So at the same time, when I posted that, I was like, well, that's stupid.
Yeah. I mean,
so what I'm saying is, like, I have to post because it's in my nature to promote, but I don't have to look at other people's stuff. That's where the problem was. I might be feeding the fire for someone else, but then they got to do it. It's like quitting cigarettes or something like that. It's like, you gotta do it yourself. I can't just go and say, oh, I'm off of this.
It's a tough predicament though, because we do want to promote the stuff that we are doing and enjoy our life and share it with people. But at the same time, and nothing against anybody in particular, but just having everybody else's voice come at you too, it's like, they are promoting as well. So it's like, well, we can't deny that. So it's basically like, it is a semi-hypocritical thing though, to be like, oh, I want to post my stuff, but I don't want to look at your stuff.
But see, at the end of the day also...
But I can see why it's too much and it's just like... coming at you and all that.
And also for me personally, also felt like me saying like, oh, I'm a social media rehab, oh, I'm away, that's like after 3 weeks, after a month of that, I was like, this sounds stupid, you know. I was just like, this sounds retarded, to be like, oh, I'm still on rehab, because after a certain amount of time, again, no one cares, and also no one's paying attention anyway.
Yeah, but so, you're like, I'm in social media rehab, but no one gave a link
fuck
to this.
No one gave a fuck,
no one cares,
because also at the same time they weren't looking, they weren't paying attention, and they're not me. And so at the same, so really in all truthfulness, I gotta do it for me. And it's the same way as like when you're doing a workout and you know you're cheating on a rep. You know you're only half-assed that rep.
Mm-hmm.
And you still counted that.
The only thing that hurts is yourself.
Yeah, so I gotta flex my own muscle properly, and it doesn't matter to anyone else but me. And that's my ego, and my ego is okay. I'm okay with my ego. That's the only way to do it. And I can't just be like, I'm going to start announcing that I'm on rehab and shit like that. It's just like, at the end of the day, I know when I'm doing it properly and I know when I'm doing it wrong. And that's the inner battle I always got to battle. Because like, I realized when I didn't look and when I didn't do that and I didn't pay attention, I was a lot happier. And the moment I started looking at any of that stuff, I started feeling really shitty, really fast. And I was like, crap. So to me, it's like one of those situations where it's like, it's not going to be a gradual thing where I'm like, oh, I slowly started feeling more shitty. It was like instant shittiness. And I was like, well, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So be it.
I feel like it's going to be a constant battle, especially when new stuff is going to come out and new media, and who knows what the future can bring, and who knows what else people are going to share.
But you know, it's such a great feeling. It's just being ignorant towards all this stuff, because yeah, news goes by so fast.
And you can just miss out on it, and it probably won't really affect you that much.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been away for a while. Not recently, but there's a couple times where I was, like, purposely, like, didn't really want to check in. And then when I came back, it was almost like I didn't miss anything. Yeah. I mean, the people that are really going to get in contact with you are going to call you, or they're going to email you directly if they really, really need you.
And I realized that was already stupid to assume people knew how to do that for me. So that's another reason.
Yeah, I don't. There's so many outlets now that there's different ways you can reach each other, but I mean, like, really, the main solution to all of this is if you were to get off Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and anything else. Like,
whatever,
that would
gonna
be.
There's
but
gonna be
then
more
the
Reddit, Pinterest, all this. It's more bullshit that's gonna pop up as it is. So it's.
But I'm just
like,
saying, at the same time, if you were to get off all of it, then you wouldn't be able to share what you do with the world. So it's like this double-edged sword. It's like, you want to be represented, but then you can't just like leave the internet.
So really, it comes down to gifts. Me personally, I'm a giver, and I don't really care about taking. So I just want to give. That's all I'm going to do is give and not care about any other presents. That's how I am during Christmas time anyway. I'm not big on like, oh, you didn't get me this, you didn't get me this. I'm more on like, oh man, I really want to get you that specific thing that you want or that you need or that could surprise you. Because, I don't know, that may sound cheesy, but like, that's how I am. I sort of like that aspect of stuff, and maybe that's how I should look at everything else. Even though I bet people are already annoyed with me talking about this whole thing, but you know what? Fuck you. In a good way.
Is there such a thing?
I don't know.
I guess there is.
Yes, there is. Of course there is. That's where that word
in
originated.
In a good way.
But I'm just saying I gotta say my piece about that.
So we give you all the gift of the Carolyn and Joe Show every Tuesday. And, you know, remember to support StrayProductions.com.
Wait, I didn't mean to say people. I didn't mean to say fuck you. I just want you to keep it real. I'm going to keep it real with you. Yes, this show is brought to you by StrayProductions.com. Nor not .com, by Stray Productions, but you can visit them at StrayProductions.com. Go check out my page, too, JoeCarabello.com. Also new work, also at GoStray.tumblr.com. What do you got, Carolyn?
I have lots of stuff. Go check out curls-studio.com to find links to everything. And we'll see you next Tuesday on the Carolyn and Joe Show.
Also, if you made it back this far, go check out all the archives of the Carolyn and Joe Show.
How many episodes do we have?
I don't 236, 37.
Oh my gosh. Listen to them all.
Listen to them all. When I die, I want them all to play. All of them to play. But yeah, go to the Carolyn and Joe Show. com. Thank you, Stitcher. Thank you, My Chemical Romance. Thank you, Beach Boys. Thank you, Jesse Kassopoulos and Jesse the Rippers. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Catch you all
on the flip side.
On the flip side.